Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from two passages out of the New Testament, one out of the book of James and one out of 1 Peter. First, out of the book of James, chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, he says this, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year and we'll do business there and make a profit." Then James says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone." And then out of 1 Peter, chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, "Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. So take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything." These past few weeks, and actually the past few weeks of at any point in our lives, but especially these last few days, have been exhausting. As together as a nation, as a state, communities, and families, we suffered through Hurricane Harvey and then prepared for the impact of Hurricane Irma and then prepared for the islands, especially Puerto Rico, was whacked by Hurricane Maria. Tough times. It was a moment, though, and a reminder of what's important in life. We all gathered up. We checked on family, making sure that they and friends were safe and secure. It was the Spirit of God shining from within and a nation standing as a light on a hill for everyone. And it reminded me of a time 16 years ago on September 11th, which we remembered again yesterday, even as the winds and the waves and the rain of Hurricane Irma hit us full in the face. The best that I can remember from that day years ago, 16 years ago, it was about 9 a.m. on Tuesday, September 11, 2001, when Linda reached me on my cell phone. I was heading to the church. Slowly her words began to tumble out and numb my awareness of anything else around me. She said, "A plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center." She called because she wanted me to know. Reports weren't yet sure whether it was accidental or intentional. We hurt and prayed together and hung up. We would wait for further reports when they became available. Minutes later, she called again and trembled with the words, "A second plane has just hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center." We cried quietly and prayed together again. We knew. The reports kept coming in, and what we feared the most was true. It was a long day, and for some time after the events of that day, I found myself having difficulty remembering times before Tuesday, September 11th. It seems that even now, that Tuesday has become another benchmark in history for my life, a defining moment similar to my remembrance of the assassination of President Kennedy, the type of events which serve to awaken us to the reality of what is important. Even though I had no reason to believe that they were in trouble, I remember calling our children that day. Linda and I both needed to hear their voices to reconnect with them that day. I'm sure many of you felt the same way. I spoke with my son, Nathan, who shared with me that when he had come home that evening, he had asked Hannah, our elder granddaughter, who was just 2.5 years old at the time, "Hannah, how are you?" And she answered, "I good, Daddy." As he told me, he began to cry, and I did too. It was a defining moment for us. We cried because she was safe, but also for all those innocent people who weren't, who had died that morning in acts of horrendous cruelty. We cried for their families and loved ones who were left empty and would feel the pain of their loss forever. Just minutes before 8:46 a.m. on that morning of September 11, 2001, there were people in the North Tower of the World Trade Center drinking coffee, preparing for a meeting later that day, talking and laughing with their fellow workers, calling to have flowers delivered for a birthday and for a restaurant reservation for their anniversary. Some were just arriving at their office high atop that North Tower, hanging their coats up and getting organized for the day. And then the unbelievable occurred, and their lives and those of their families and other loved ones were forever changed. In the turn of their head, in those towers, they realized that they may be in their last moments of life on Earth. And so they began to make phone calls. But you know, what we saw is that they didn't call their stockbrokers to check on their portfolios or to make one more stock trade. They didn't call their banker or attorney. They didn't call to see if their favorite team had won. They didn't put in a call to the golf pro at the club for a tee time or to call to set an appointment for a haircut. They called to talk to their bride or their husband. They said things like, I don't know what just happened, but it's not good. I don't know what will happen here, but I want you to know that you're the best and I love you. Hug and kiss the kids for me. Tell them I love them. A woman called her husband. I'm concerned that I may not see you again, and I'm afraid. I love you. A father called his son. I'm not sure what's going on, son, but I wanted to tell you that I'm proud of you and I love you. Take care of your mother. Another to a man's daughter. I just wanted to make sure I told you one more time how beautiful you are and how much I love you. My friends, our time here is limited. It's not endless. And as immortal and invincible as we feel at times, we are not promised the next minute. At 8:45 a.m. on September 11th, on the 100th floor of the North Tower, people were pouring a cup of coffee, talking and settling and setting appointments. 1 minute later, 1 minute later, and life as they had known it was forever changed. Whether they realized it or not, they just had poured their last cup of coffee. Just what James reminds us of in the scripture verse we read a minute ago. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? He said, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. Look, we work, we play, we have all sorts of activities and other moments we enjoy, but we also occupy roles which no one else can occupy. Each of us stands on special platforms of influence and opportunity to make a difference at any age that God has given us, which when used as he intended, will change our lives and the lives of others around us for the better. And in the process, we may just end up changing the world with him. And none are more important than the sacred platforms, the sacred roles as husband, as bride, as parent, as grandparent, which no one else can occupy. I wonder if we understand that as we plan our busy schedules with those oh-so-important social agendas and business opportunities. I'm almost positive that the folks who drank their last cup of coffee that morning of September 11, 2001, did not think that their trip into downtown Manhattan that morning would be their last. The results of a study surveying thousands found that at the end of your lives, your greatest regrets won't be things you did but wish you hadn't. We all have those regrets, things we're sorry for that we did, but that's what God's grace and forgiveness is for. And a forgiveness for us to share with others as well. Instead, the study found out that our greatest regrets will be the things you didn't do but wish you had. The important moments, the possibilities, the people we miss spending time with, and the dreams we never acted upon, which are now forever regrets, forever missed moments. So what is it you need to change today? To live the life you were meant to live with the important people God gave you. To minimize the regrets you will have if you don't do the important things you should do and with the important people God has placed in your life. Are you driving into the office right now as usual? Are you assured that you'll drive there tomorrow or a week from now or 30 days from now? Events in life remind us we don't have that assurance. What do you need to change then for the better? Who is it you need to call that you haven't spoken to in a while? Have you missed any of your sons or your daughters or other special friends' recent school activities? When was the last time you took your bride or your husband on a date? We live busy lives. I get it. And we can usually justify our busyness with some reason or another which sounds good. You know, we're really not doing anything wrong in the context of worldly values. But we can live a life where we may do nothing wrong, but still do nothing right. If you knew you had 30 days to live, what would you do? What about 10 days? 5? What about just a few hours? That, my friends, is all we may have. And realizing that, we might all do well to remember that in what may be our last moments, we're not promised another cup of coffee. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends. Thank you for their lives. I thank you for the simple reminder that you give us all the time to be about the important things, to realize we're not promised the next second, the next hour, the next day. But you want us to be about you, to know you, to live for you, and to touch the world with and for you. Help us to do that. Help us to remember those important things that you call us to do, and to push aside all those things that the world says are important, because they're not compared to what you call us to do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your Son. It's his name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.